Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
I suspect that most of us like group photos. They remind us of who was present at a significant event. And it occurs to me that the last portion of Paul's epistle to the Colossians is somewhat like a verbal group photo. It's a record of who was with Paul in Rome during his first Roman imprisonment, and there are 8 individuals in all who are named here. This is a section that has personal greetings and remembrances. It was a customary part of the epistolary format of Paul's day. In other words, the way that most epistles were constructed. And it is commonly employed by the Apostle Paul, but not always. As you study his 13 epistles, you will find that some of them have a section just like this one, but some of them do not. And that you can always look for the human reasons. Why did Paul have a section like that in Colossians and not in Galatians and so forth? And you probably will come up with good plausible reasons, though since the Bible doesn't tell us exactly why, they can only be plausible and never be certain. But the bottom line is more simple than that. All of these epistles were superintended by the Holy Spirit of God, and therefore the Spirit of God guided Paul to include these in some epistles and not in others. And where they are included, they're there for our edification. They're not to just be skipped and rejected and ignored, as I'm afraid some people do. So they're here. And that means we need to look at them, we need to study them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, but it's all profitable for something. And in this case, it gives us an opportunity to get acquainted with some of Paul's closest co-laborers. And it's also an occasion for us to be taught and challenged by their lives, and we begin with a man named Tychicus, who is named in verse 7. Tychicus, a faithful messenger of God. And so that's where we're going on this Wednesday, June 14. Thank you for joining us, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to carry on this ministry. Well, Colossians 4:7 says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Remember, Paul is writing this epistle to the Colossians, to a church that he did not found, and in a city that he had not visited, and yet one in which he had not only a personal interest, but a pastoral responsibility, an apostolic responsibility. And though he'd never been there and didn't know all the members of the church, he did know a good many of them, particularly those who had traveled from Colossae to, say, Ephesus when Paul was there. So Paul is now writing to this Colossian church, and he says, Tychicus, a fellow brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. So we focus on Tychicus. Here we've got a group photo, of all the people who were with Paul in Rome, and as we're looking at the photo, somebody says, "Who is that guy over there on the right?" And someone else would say, "That's Tychicus." And you say, "Who's Tychicus and what do we know about him?" And that's what we're going to find out. His name, Tychicus, means fortuitous or fortunate is the way we would say it. And it is a Greek name, and it is a pagan name. It would be, I suppose, close to the term or title or name lucky. I've known a few people in my lifetime who had picked that up as a nickname. They were called lucky. And that's what this name means, Tychicus, fortunate or fortuitous. It means something like, may the gods grant you good fortune. And probably was attached to people for superstitious reasons. They believed in luck. They believed in good fortune. They believed that these pagan gods could grant that to certain people. And so it was not uncommon for such a pagan father to name his son Lucky, Tychicus. How little did he know what good fortune the gods, or actually the one true God, was going to bestow upon his son. But that's what happened when Tychicus became a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then good fortune descended upon him in a way that it never could have otherwise. If he'd had all the good luck in the world as an unbeliever in Jesus Christ and died and spent an eternity separated from Christ, that would not be very fortunate, would it? But when, by the grace of God, Tychicus was brought to understand his sinful condition, understand his precarious position as one who was under the condemnation of God, under the holy wrath of God, came to understand God's wonderful provision in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that Christ died on the cross to save sinners just like Tychicus, and by the work of God's Spirit in his heart, he came to believe in Christ and to become a follower of Christ. Then his name finally found its true fulfillment, its true meaning. He was fortunate indeed, except it really isn't fortunate so much as it is an object of God's grace. But what about his place in Scripture? Well, Tychicus, we know from Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, was a faithful church member. And I don't want to pass over that too lightly. There are too many in our day who don't think that that's all that important. But in first century Christianity, it obviously was. Here's what we read about the situation in Ephesus after Paul had ministered there a while, and there was an uproar, a riot, as you know, led by the Ephesian silversmiths. And we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed there 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Well, what do we make of all that? Well, what we learn here is that Tychicus was one of the seven messengers, we usually call them, who accompanied Paul home from his third missionary term of service. As he was heading home, as we would call it today, on furlough, from his third term of missionary service, he was accompanied by seven messengers, all of whom were appointed by their local churches to accompany the collection that had been made for the saints. And Tychicus is one of those. That's why they are traveling with him. You have to cross-reference what I just read in Acts chapter 20 with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me read that now. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given ordinance to the churches of Galatia, so also you must do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come, and when I come, listen to this now, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gifts to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. And as the scenario unfolded, it was fitting. Paul was going. And so these seven messengers appointed by their respective churches accompanied Paul, each one appointed by their church to guarantee the safe conveyance of this collection for the saints, which had grown to a pretty considerable sum, as all of the churches participated in this and collected a good and significant amount. And in those days, of course, you couldn't write a check, you couldn't communicate this money electronically, as we can do today. It was carried by hand over Roman roads, and though they were probably the safest in all the world, they also were beset by robbers. Paul himself encountered robbers on several of his journeys. And so if you wanted this money, which was going to no doubt take the form of silver or gold coins, and make sure that it arrived safely to its destination, you better have a pretty good delegation, a pretty good band of guardians, and Tychicus is one of them. In other words, he was a mature Christian, a trusted Christian, one who had a good reputation in his church, a faithful man who Paul was able to use for wider ministry. He was a faithful church member. He was a trusted messenger, as we find if we would take the time to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. And we would find that there he's commended in almost identical language to the Ephesians as he is here to the Colossians, which tells us that he was sent to Ephesus as well as to Colossae, and leads us to the conclusion that he was bearing the Ephesian epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, as well as the courier for the Colossian epistle that Paul wrote to Colossae, as well as the personal epistle that Paul wrote to Philemon. He was undoubtedly the trusted messenger to bear these epistles. He's now attached to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's now entrusted with a significant apostolic assignment. He is a faithful man. And I go back in these closing moments to remind you that it all started, as far as his public ministry is concerned, it all started by being a faithful member of his local church. Some people want to launch into public ministry before they have proved themselves to be faithful in their own local church. Don't fall into that trap. Don't bypass God's training ground, God's proving ground, God's identifying ground, where faithful ministers of the gospel are first proved in their local churches and then identified by their local churches and recommended by their local churches to greater gospel ministry. Tychicus went the right way, because in that day I don't think there was any other way, and he was a faithful messenger of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.